I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. Every week, we talk with a diverse group of parents to get their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we're talking about growing pains and transitions, especially helping your kids find their way out of your nest and into their own nest. No parent wants this for their kids.
Okay. Thanks, Papa. Bye-bye. That was my dad. I'm a stay-at-home son.
That, of course, was Alan from the movie Hangover 2, a self-described stay-at-home son. And, of course, most kids leave home before they reach middle age. But it can be a challenge to decide how much to help your kids launch into a new phase of their lives and how much to let them go at it on their own. We have three of our regulars today to talk about growing pains and triumphs with their own kids. Danny Tucker has a teenage son, recent high school graduate, and a daughter. Jolene Ivy is the mother of five boys, and Araceli Panameño has a 22-year-old daughter. They're all in transition, and we're here together in our Washington, D.C. studio to talk about it. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Michelle.
Thank you
for having us.
And Danny, you actually came to us with this topic because you are having some issues trying to launch your 18-year-old into adulthood. He just graduated from high school, which was a great day. So what's the problem?
The problem is, you know, it's like, okay, maybe he has the stay-at-home son mentality a little bit, or the entitlement. I call it the entitlement, you know, because it's we're going in the Navy, but we're not leaving for the Navy for at least another 6-7 months, you know. So it's like, okay, Mom, you know, I'm here. And I'm like, no, son, you're grown. You're 18 now. It's time for you to have some responsibility. You know, you didn't expect Mom to pay for all your food. And he kind of looked at me a little strange when I said, you know, starting August 1st, you're going to have to pay me $150 a month rent. Because I told you last year, only people that live with me rent-free are full-time college students. And you decided not to be a full-time college student. So that says to me you are a working adult or young adult, whatever, but you're going to pay some rent. So, you know, he kind of scoffed a little bit, you know, after he went to the refrigerator and saw that it was empty. And was like, okay, I get what you're saying. You know, okay, you see, this is, it takes money to run this house, you know.
So is that a common concern like this? It's not that he doesn't have a plan, but that the plan doesn't kick in. It's what to do before the plan
exactly.
kicks in.
What to do. Well, you know, when they're going off to college, you have a plan. You know, you're ready for that. You know you're going to take them there and you've got money. So, but when they're not, they become too flighty, in my opinion. My son did, you know. Well, I know I'm going in the Navy, but until then, I'm just going to chill.
I'm going to hang out, play basketball,
exactly.
chill
eat
with my
food,
friends,
eat
your food, lay around the house.
Keep the lights on, you know, keep the TV. I came home and the TV was on, but there was nobody there. Oh, I forgot. No, now that's where I need you to transition, son, because now you're still thinking like a child.
Okay.
And I got to pay the bills. And you know, I don't have it like that, son.
And so is this a common concern, Araceli? Is this common?
Say that what I have shared with my daughter, she actually did have a plan. She graduated from high school, had a very successful high school career, went off to college, and then run into some bumps along the way when she was in college the first year.
Did you say bums or bumps?
Bumps. Bumps.
So
but also bumps. But also bumps. I think that you were right. That was a Freudian slip.
Young men who are
absolutely.
Perhaps not as on their game as you would like.
Absolutely. And so the message still the same. If you want to be an adult and you want to be treated as an adult, you have to assume the responsibilities of adulthood.
So what is the issue here? Is the issue that kids are having some trouble staying on track? Is that the issue, Araceli?
So
and
for
I
me,
hear from Jolene too.
Yeah. So for our experience, she did lose track. She lost focus. This was the first time that she was going to be on her own. She is in a school of 25,000 student population, University of Virginia. They party hardy, but they also study hard also. And party very hard the first semester, in fact, failed, and recover by the second semester. But, you know, it was all this distraction, all this pressure.
So her grades weren't up to par? And
her
you
grades,
felt what?
Yes. Her grades went down quite significantly. And as a matter of fact, she got into academic probation, and I was paying for everything. And so, you know, the whole concept of you're throwing away my money, honey, and I have worked really hard, and you're having no sense of appreciation. You have a sense of entitlement because you're a single child. You think that mommy is going to continue to support you through the rest of time, and that's not the case. And so, you know, I started to show what the consequences would be. If you don't do X, then Y will happen. And so now we're to the point where she did meet a young man, not a bum, but a young man who had graduated college already, and he wanted to try out his career elsewhere. They decided to move to California. She took a leave of absence from college after her 2 years of college, went out to California. The worst market for jobs for Blacks and Latinos. My daughter is half Black, half Latina. Her boyfriend is Black. And so they couldn't find jobs, you know, in California and L.A. He was there for 9 months. She was there for 6 months. Spent all of their savings. And then before Thanksgiving last year, she called and she said, "Mommy, I'm coming home."
So you're talking about a couple things here. There's the
yes.
job market. And we can talk about the race piece in a minute, which I think there is some
it's
of that
very
there.
Important. Yes.
Jolene, what about you? You're trying to launch a couple of young adults.
Yeah, I got two right there on the diving board. The oldest just graduated college, and yes, and he has a job in his field. We are very happy. And he's trying to find a place to live. Right now, he's still living with us, much to his chagrin. But for the moment, he can't afford to live anyplace else. So until he can find a place he can afford, which means finding roommates he can live with and a place that he wants, he's going to be with us for, you know, the short while.
Is that a problem, though? You know, that used to be normal. I mean,
it's
that
actually,
you would live at home
sure.
as a you know, before you got married. I mean,
right.
So is that so terrible?
It's not a problem for me. I actually don't mind at all. I'd rather him live with us and kind of get his legs under him than just to go move in with some old friends of his in a situation that might not be ideal. I'd rather him wait. It's very frustrating for him because he thinks he's been independent for the past 4 years. Well, he hasn't been. He's been living off of us while he was in college. He's just had that false sense of independence because, you know, he was not living with us, so we weren't able to tell him what to do every moment. But he's now in the situation where he's got to move back in with his four brothers, me, his dad, and his grandfather, and our house is just not that big.
And share a bathroom. And
share everything.
And also not act like it's a hotel, which is the
right.
other issue. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. And this week's Mom Segment, we're talking about transitioning to adulthood. We're joined by some of our regulars, Jolene Ivey, Danny Tucker, and Araceli Panameño. You know, I'm hearing a couple things here. One is the whole thing of setting boundaries, setting new boundaries once a child has achieved certain benchmarks. And so some of that is just the whole question of you've been away, you've been on your own. Now you're back here for however long, and we need to set some boundaries about how we're going to renegotiate that relationship. But then there's also the financial economics piece of the cost of setting up a new household, the fact that the job market is as bad as it is, the fact that housing is expensive.
And there's some racial
And there
economics.
Are some pieces. And,
yes.
and there's also how you feel about
racial
it, the fact
issues.
That your kids had opportunities yeah. that perhaps you did not have and that you don't appreciate it when they don't seem to be as grateful for them as you would like them to be. Araceli, you raised the racial piece of it. I'm wondering, is this racial or is this in part a class issue that if you don't have, I mean, very few African-American and Latinos grew up with an asset cushion. I mean, we may have caught up in terms of income. Many of us have caught up in terms of income. We certainly haven't caught up in terms of the asset cushion that people from other backgrounds have.
And the housing market just wiped us out.
And wiped us out.
If we had anything, and many families are in a negative position.
Right.
But I think that beyond that, you have the issue of high school graduation rates. Latinos in the United States have the lowest graduation rate in the country. You know, a ratio from compared to whites, they are three times as likely as a white counterpart to drop out of high school. And so that's very significant. Of those that actually graduate, only 10% go on to get a bachelor's degree. And then of those, only 2% get a graduate degree. And all of that is associated with our ability to, whether it is getting a good job, finding housing that we can afford, having transportation, and I mean, all of these other things in life. And so certainly for me as an immigrant, right, I worked really hard to achieve all of those things. I have continued to work hard to sustain and provide for my daughter. I mean, I think that that's the dream for every parent, to provide a better quality of life than we ever had. And so I've done that. But in the process, I've created this, you know, American who takes things for granted. And she believes that I will be the Treasury Department forevermore. And so I said, no, honey, you know, it takes work. If you want to live this way, you need to achieve more. You need to go to school, get a degree, and get a good job.
And what did you say? What did you say? Now, Danny's already told you. She's already laid down the law to her son. He's got to pay rent starting August 1. And it was nice of you to give him a little grace period there to get his sea legs.
There you go.
That was very nice of you. I wasn't actually expecting that. I was thinking it's going to June 1. Here it is. But
so what I said to her, actually, my daughter actually lost this financial aid for college education. So, you know, she wanted to play house with boyfriend. She wanted to go pay rent and try to find a job. I said, that's all fine. You know, we do that at some point in time. We all leave our parents' homes and we join with a partner. And that's all fine. But when she came back, I said, you're only coming back if you have a plan to go back to college, if you get a job, if you assume certain responsibilities for chores at home, and you must use your money for savings because that is what is going to pay tuition, room, and board when you get back to school. I reserve the priority of providing some assistance in the future, but at this point, she doesn't know that.
But you have to show me
Absolutely.
That you are serious about
Absolutely.
Your business. Danny?
I took the same approach, especially with race, because what I was trying to tell Davon is you're a black male, so it's already double stacked against you. Many of you who actually make it out of high school, and just like Latinos, it's low in the black community as well.
And also, one of the things that we've also reported on in this program is that African-American men with a college degree are twice as likely to be unemployed as white men with a college degree,
exactly.
even though they're more likely to have a job than men with less right. education, no matter the race.
Right.
But there's that.
And that same thing I said to him, and I didn't want him to get stuck in that. Being held down by the statistics. So I said, you know, I'm going to have to be a little tough on you. And I'm not being tough on you because I'm mad or I'm broke. You know, I will work 3 or 4 jobs taking my kids. I always did. I said, but I want you to know that I don't want you to get stuck in that rut that a lot of you get in it. When you come out of high school, it's about working at McDonald's, smoking weed, and hanging out. You know, working in a dead-end job. I said, you need a career. I said, all black men need a career.
What is your thought, though, about having him pay rent? Because some would argue that what he ought to be doing is saving that money to create an asset cushion for him. In fact, that was actually a proposal during the presidential campaign. A couple of the Democrats talked about creating an inheritance for the Americans who aren't born with one, which it would be a kind of a savings account that they would then get at a certain point in their adult life that would give them that asset cushion to kind of equalize things. So some might argue that what he should be doing with his earnings is saving it to kind of give him that cushion. But you don't think that's right?
No, because, well, I think he should save. But my thing to him is first you need to know how to be responsible. Because if I'm not here tomorrow, you got to know how to pay rent. That's my thing with him. To me, too many of our black kids, especially young men, don't know how to take care of themselves. They go from mom and dad or mom or dad or whoever's to living off a woman a lot of times or, you know, meeting them a sugar mama or whatever the case may be, but they don't know how to take care of themselves. And I want him to know the difference between paying my rent first and then buying my Jordan second or my New Balance second. We're going to work on the savings part, but I want to get him here first.
Can I just ask you this, though? Do you feel this is a particular issue for the young men as opposed to the young women, that the young women are on their game and the young men are less likely to be?
In my experience, yes, because a lot of my young women, like my daughter, I mean, she's already got her game ready going into high school. And you know, okay, mom, I'm going to do this at Banneker, bum, 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 I'm going to Spelman. You know, she's already thinking that way at 14, whereas my son, I had to help him think that way. Mm-hmm. You know, so to me, it's the guys that we really have to help along.
Jolene, what do you think about it? You think that's true?
Well, I do think it's true. Generally speaking, though, I grew up with being very independent, very hardworking, and my father had to keep me from working more in college because I wanted to be able to contribute as much as I could at that time to my education. And right now, I'm kind of struggling with how much do I help my kids doing things like you talk about, Michelle, letting them save their money so they have something to help themselves later? And how much do I instill the responsibility like, you know, Danny and Arisala were talking about? So I struggle with that. My husband and I struggle with that. We're not having the financial problem where it kind of takes the choice away. You must give me rent money because I need it to pay bills. So that's not the issue for us. So
the issue is what's the right teaching tool
exactly
at this point? And I get the sense that you and Glenn kind of disagree on that.
We do to an extent because Glenn so much would just rather relieve the pressure on the household as far as space and just write a check, get the boy out of the
another
house.
Another big hairy guy around.
Yeah, yeah, just, you know.
Big get sneakers.
Get him an apartment, get him a car, whatever it
and
takes.
And subsidize
just
the life
get him out, right. I feel like, no, let him do it on his own. It helps build strong muscles, independent muscles.
Well, it sounds to me as though this is something that a lot of people are experiencing right now, in part because of the economy, in part because there are opportunities, in part because this is kind of the world we live in. Could I just get a final thought? It sounds like each of you are also still, often when we have these conversations, you figured it out and you're sharing what you figured out, but we're in transition on this. So why don't I have a final thought from each of you about maybe what you've learned so far and what you hope to learn next. And maybe we'll come back in a couple months and talk about it again. So,
I think for me, the idea is to not have preconceived ideas for each child that you're raising. My child is 21, this particular one. And he is a very different person than I was, and he's different from his younger brothers. So what each one of them needs at every point of their life, whether they're infants or 20-year-olds, it's different, and you need to kind of tailor your approach to them.
Danny?
For me, I would just advise the parents, this has been the second scariest part of my life with the kids. The first one was the divorce and having to do it on my own, and this one because now your child is going to be grown. And how much do you allow them to be grown? How much do you let go? And they don't come with a handbook. So this has been very scary for me because am I doing the right thing? Charging him a rent? You know, everything goes through your head as a parent. But I will say you got to do something. Don't give up. I've seen parents right now who aren't doing anything, and their 20-year-old kids and their 22-year-old
kids let them do
what
they
want.
Are
still on the couch. Hmm. And they're not doing anything. They're still treating them like they were in the 10th grade. Don't do that. Don't do that. That doesn't work for you or him or her.
Araceli, final thought?
Learning is a lifelong experience for children and for us as adults and parents. For those of us who are single parents, it takes a village, as we've said. And so we must engage those that are our support networks, our relatives, you know, my brothers, my sisters-in-law, all of the cousins, the grandparents. And ultimately, at the policy level, I don't think that we must sacrifice our children's education for the sake of budget negotiations. And so I think that we need to think about that as we think about education and the education of our children.
Okay, I think we do need to come back in a couple months and see how it's going. Araceli Panameño, Jolene Ivey, and Danny Tucker are three of our regular Moms contributors. They were all here with us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Thank you all so much.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.